Today's Mishnah in Masechet Ohalot is Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. Alrighty. We were talking about a Beit HaPras, and we were talking about the type of Beit HaPras, which comes from the Harisha of a Kever. Now, that specific din, mind you, is very specific. Because as I explained yesterday, a Beit HaPras is not a true Chashash. In the event that there actually was a plowing over a kever, we don't really have a chashash that there's going to be that type of scattering of bone fragments of a size that would be metami anyone, that would be exposed on the ground, that somebody could actually come into contact with. And therefore, there are only very specific cases where we are gozer, this din of the Beit HaPras. It needs to be a true kever that is known to be there, that was plowed over in a very disgraceful manner by the person who is the owner and should have treated the kever with respect. And that's the only way that we were gozer, the only reason we were gozer. This Mishnah comes to establish that. So, suppose somebody is choresh a milatimia. A milatimia is a word that is obvious, moletimia. Moletimia means full of bones. So this was a burial pit, and where they had thrown a lot of dead together. And obviously Jewish people don't do this, but this was referring to the pit in the Shire, where they had buried all of those ridiculous, awful orc-looking people. And that was called, in fact, the pit they called it. So that was the Litamia. So if you are choresh over Litamia, and spread the bones all over. Or for that matter, there are bones that are lying on the ground. Tzviras atzamot. There is no din of a Beit HaPras. Even though you say, what? That's crazy. Isn't this even more likely to come into contact with atzamot? Yeah, but that isn't the point of the Beit HaPras. And in this case, we do not have a common kind of situation where somebody was responsible to treat something. It does not enter into the entire takona. Now, how about in a other type of soda? There's another type of Beit HaPras, which is soda shenevad ba kever. So we don't know where the kever is. Now, over there, the entire soda is considered to be a Beit HaPras of a different kind. It has nothing to do with being plowed up. It just has to do with the fact that anybody that walked into that area may have walked over a kever, and therefore it's a very different Beit HaPras, because it's going to be metame the ohel. Mashenkin, the other Beit HaPras, where it was plowed over, but Dafka will not be Matame Boel, because we assume that the remains have been smashed up and there is no way to be Matame Boel with little pieces of bone. Remember, you would need Rov Atzamos, Rov Binyan, are the things that we discussed before at the beginning of the Masechet. So now, we talked yesterday about what would be the din if somebody continues to plow from an original type of Beit HaPras into the next field. Or, and then we had the machlokas, maybe if he had originally plowed only 50 amas, and now he goes back and he plows up the next 50 amas, starting from within the first 50 amas. What would be the din in an equivalent case where somebody plows from a sodah she'avad hakever betocha, and he goes into misadeh she'avad hakever betocha, into another field? So, if you're going to say, well, I don't know, I mean, if I plowed in that field, maybe I plowed through the grave and I brought it into the next field. There, nobody says that. Why? Because we have a sfeik sfeik. In the case of this sodah where we knew where the kever was that was nechrash, we only have one suffix. Over here, we don't even know if you got anywhere near that grave. And therefore, there was bechlal no takana made about a sfeik sfeik. Furthermore, in a case where you found out after you did the plowing. Originally, you had no idea that there was a kever there. After you plowed over it, then you found there was a kever. There's no din of Beit HaPras because you did not do anything wrong because you had no reason to suspect that there was a kever there. And the din of a Beit HaPras is only where you misbehaved. Furthermore, suppose somebody plows under a grave in a field that you own and you had no idea that he was going to do that. You did not hire him to do that. He just went in there and was practicing around with his tractor, and he ended up plowing it. That's not your problem. And therefore, even though in terms of the logistics, the physical reality is precisely the same, it does not have a din of a Beit HaPras. That is also, if it's Eino Shelo, not considered to be a Beit HaPras. And the last case that's not a Beit HaPras is a non-Jew. So either he's a Nochri or he is a Kuti. So a Nochri Shecharash Eino Oseoto Beit HaPras, obviously, because the Beit HaPras is a din for people who are interested in keeping the halakhas that we are creating and are expected to behave in a certain way and didn't. That doesn't apply to Goyim, and it doesn't even apply to Kutim. She'ein Beit HaPras l'Kutim, and certainly not to Akum Mamash. Okay, this completely changes our idea of the original vision of the Beit HaPras, of Asada Shenecharash Ba'kever. It becomes more and more manifest that it is not a real din of Chashash, of Negiah Bekever. Now, there's another din about a Beit HaPras, and that is, if it was Asada Shenecharash Ba'kever, then we actually treat the dirt of that field as if it has Atzamot pieces in it. So because of that, if we take out that dirt and we bring it somewhere else, if you touch that dirt, then we're going to give you the din also of someone who had walked in a Beit HaPras. And there are, therefore, if you have a case of a Beit HaPras, which is, let's say, it's up on a mountain, and it hangs above a regular field, perfectly normal field that was tahar, never had any kind of kever in it, and there's a massive rainstorm. Now, the rainstorm is shotef shatfugish amimi Beit HaPras Torah. A lot of the dirt that was the topsoil of the Beit HaPras was washed down the mountain and is now on the lower field. So you would say, aha! So for all intents and purposes, we have moved the dirt with the chashash of the atzomais. We've moved it down to the other field, and now the other field should become a Beit HaPras. And mind you, if the topsoil was of a completely different color, so we can actually trace it. So let's say we had the Tohar field had like a reddish color, and the Beit HaPras field had a whitish color to the topsoil. And now the rain brought down so much of the topsoil that the red soil turned white. Afilu Aduma V'Yelbinua, or vice versa. Or originally the earth on the bottom was white and the reddish topsoil from the mountain was washed down, and now the lower field turns Adimua. Doesn't matter. You cannot create a Beit HaPras from washed out soil. The reason is that even though we would be metame clumps of soil, and we're going to see what the shear is of those clumps in the following Mishnayos, but there is no shear of microparticles that are washed out with water in solution. That is not considered to be clumping that would bring along atzamot. And therefore, even though now we're saying, but it looks like all the soil from there is here, it doesn't matter. We will not create a Beit HaPras on the bottom. Now let's talk about the Iker Dinim in Mishnah Hay. So Perek Yud Zayin Mishnah Hay, we're going to talk about the other type of Beit HaPras, a sada ne'evad ba'kever, as opposed to nechrash ba'kever, which is a very, very different din, even though both of them are called Beit HaPras. Because basically, the first Beit HaPras that we were talking about can only be metame b'maga, because of the chashash or b'masa. In other words, somebody carried that bone or came into contact with that bone. But when it talks about a sada she'avad ba'kever, if we give a din of tuma to the whole field in order to avoid tuma, and there it has nothing to do with misbehavior the way the original, but so it's really two totally different sugyas. The chashash in the kever, in the sada she'avad ba'kever, is a chashash of tumas ohel. In the sada she'nechrash ba'kever, we know where the kever was, which was betami ba'ohel, and we're simply extending dinim of tuma b'mago or b'masa throughout the 100 by 100 amas of the area in which it was dug up, or we pretend it was dug up. So a sadeh she'avad ba'kever betocha. So this is somebody builds a two-story home on that field. Banaba ba'id va'aliyah al gabav. Now, obviously, the bottom story, which is built over the Sada, is going to be Tamei Be'ohel. Anybody who lives in that house is a Tamei Mace. The question is, the upper story, now here we're talking about an upper story apartment. There's no connection between the lower story and the upper story. That's like a classic apartment kind of thing where you enter into your apartment with stairs. So let's assume that the stairwell is not in the original field Shavat Bakever. There was an apartment development. Somebody bought up a field Shavat Bakever. He built 100 apartments, three stories. You could climb into your apartment as often as the case by getting upstairs from the outside and onto the porch that extends along the second story and the third story. You go to your apartment. You open up the apartment. At no time were you over the actual ground of the field that was Avad Bakever. And that the first story provides an ohel that stops the ohel from allowing the Tumas Mace underneath it from going up, as we saw in the beginning of the Masechet. And therefore, there will be no Tuma in the second story. So in that case, it depends, of course, how it's arranged. So let's imagine a case where all of the doorways are mechuvan, one connected the other. So in other words, I'm looking at a building, I see the entry into apartment 10 on the second floor is built directly over the doorway of apartment 1 on the first floor and apartment 20 on the third floor. So the doors are stacked. Then what that would mean is that there is no way for Tumas Mace to have gotten to the second and third story. Because even if there is a mace underneath the door of the apartment 1, there's a top to the door. There's a lintel of the door, and the lintel of the door is an ohel which will prevent the Tumas Mace from coming up to the next door. So there, the aliyah, the second and third story, is completely tahar. But imlav, if you do not have the doors staggered, placed parallel one to another, but they're staggered, so you have apartment number 1 on the bottom floor, and then a little bit off, maybe 5 feet to the left on the second floor is apartment 10, and then 5 feet to the left on the third floor is apartment 20, then you're in big trouble. Why are you in trouble? Because let us assume that there is a mace in under the foundations of the wall, which then will be Tuma Ritzutza. The Tuma Ritzutza will keep going up until it hits something. So it's the Tuma Ritzutza will go up till it hits the lintel of apartment 10, and will keep going up on the other side until it hits the lintel of apartment 30 or 20, and so on, all the way up the building. As long as the staggered, if they're staggered, as we saw earlier in the Masechet, once the lintel is Makabel Tumas Ohel, it brings the Tumas Mace into the house. And therefore, the entire apartment building will be Tame. It's very important to check this out when you're renting an apartment if you are a Kohen. All right. And then, since we said that the actual dirt itself could be a problem, even though the washed out dirt isn't a problem, so if you've got the Afar Beit HaPras, or for that matter, there's another place where soil itself is considered to be Tamei, and that's soil that comes from Chutz La'aretz. All Eretz Ha'amim is Tamei. And if you import vegetables, so now you have to make sure that the vegetables, if they're coming from Chutz La'aretz, if they've got any of the soil attached to them, which is almost inevitable where you've got unwashed vegetables, or if you have grown vegetables in a Beit HaPras, so then even if you just import the vegetables, even if each of those vegetables does not have a large amount of soil, you could be mitstaref the package of the shipment of vegetables to the size of a chotam hamartzofim. A chotam hamartzofim is something that I'm assuming most of you never saw because it went out of style about 50 years ago. But it used to be, sadly enough, extremely common, specifically for shipping sfarim, because the U.S. Post Office had a special deal on shipping books. And anybody who moved to Eretz Yisrael took advantage of this deal. The deal was that you could put thousands of books into a martsof. A martsof is a bag. The time of the Mishnah was made out of leather. Unfortunately, at the time of the recent history of the Martsofim was made out of canvas. And then you could ship an unbelievable weight of Sfarim for almost nothing, which, of course, caused immense damage to the Sfarim, which would often come waterlogged or all broken up because they had been busted around on the ship and so on. But people were desperate. So you'll find a lot of old Sfarim are in pretty bad shape because of this if they'd been shipped. And that would have a chotem on it, which is very interesting. The same type of chotem, they would put a chotem over the seal and they would crimp it so that it was an actual chotem on a lead seal. Here they would use wax or clay. And that would be the shear of the chotem Amartsofim. So if it's that shear, that amount of dirt is sufficient to carry along with it a chashash of an etzem kisa'ora. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you look at the total amount of dirt. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you don't look at the total amount. You have to have in one place the chotem Amartsofim, because otherwise you don't have enough particular dirt to be able to carry the chashash of a etzem kisa'ora. And says Rabbi Yehuda, for sure the Chachamim are right. There was a Maisa where they delivered thousands of letters from on this Roman boat to the children of the Kohanim Gedolim. These guys used to order from Amazon all the time. Nobody else would order from Amazon. But the children of the Kohanim Gedolim were sort of spoiled. And so when the Roman boat delivery from Amazon came in, they had like hundreds of letters that had all been sealed with this clay from Eretz Amim. And you put together the amount of clay that there was like a sa'ar, even a sa'ataim of dirt that had come from outside of Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to be metame, the whole thing. And the Chachamim said, nope, you don't have to worry about a thing. Lo choshulam Chachamim mishum tum'ah, because each seal was smaller than the chotem Amartsofim. So it's because of this that we find Rav Barnea often has Amazon packages in front of his house. Still, mibnei kohanim gedolim. Yes, Rav Barnea.
A stone cover was found that says Ben HaKohen HaGadol. So we don't know his name because it's broken. And I tie them based on this Mishnah that it's not just, you should know his Yichus. It means that the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim had a status that was Choshev in itself.
Right. Unfortunately, the real truth was there was a Kohen Gadol whose name was Ben, and that was his kever. But all right, but we won't,
Not Kohen Gadol, but okay. That's, and it's readable today. It's in the Israel Museum on the shelf of Bayit Chaim things. Second of all, in the Martsufim, I got sex like that. I want to remind Rabbi Demaisa of the Avodah Salevi on the dock in Cairo.
Remind me.
Avodah Salevi was shipped, and somebody happened to be in Cairo and saw these piles of Sfarim on the dock and saved all shipment of Rebbe's grandfather Sefer, right? That had fallen apart and were sitting there and
already
handing them.
Unbelievable. Right?
But we have from Bais Rishon in what's called near David, the lower southeast hill, marked these seals which had no names on it but had geometric designs on that we think they were for shipping fish. It could be other things. But we have pieces of Martsofim. It's the earliest administrative find in Yerushalayim, and it's a game changer. It was found stuffed in when they made what's called Chizkiyahu's tunnel. They used all types of fill afterwards to make the earthworks usable, and they found dozens and dozens, I think 60 pieces of bulot like this, which were for shipments. And there's a suggestion of Rani Reich that Teropian Valley is not Cheesemaker's Valley, but it's Sor, and it means the import of where the fish market would come into. And it fits with the finds. They found thousands of bones of fish, but that's a cute thing. And the last thing is, in Rebbe's comment about a Latimia not being a Jewish thing, I noticed years ago a major difference between the Minhagi Akvor and Bayit Rishon to the Minhagi Akvor and Bayit Sheni. We learned in Mishnah Yismael Katan, a reality which is completely different than the Metzias found in Harazesim, in Haramishcha, which is a separate issue. How do they have Paradum in a place that was full of graves? How does that work? But okay. And you have caves.
As you know, the Paraduma, the Kevesh of the Paraduma, was built particularly for that reason.
Right, but the whole hill is filled with Kfarim.
Yeah, but you didn't bring the care of the Paraduma to the whole hill.
It just fascinating that sitting against the of all places, that's what you're going to bring. Well,
it would be a perfect matchup with all the other crazy stuff of the Paraduma.
Why is Hebrew University called a non scopus? Mm-hmm. So that they shouldn't have, if it was an Arzasim, all the Europeans would say they'll toit the university. Right? So they changed the name of the hill, so it shouldn't be Arzasim. Chaim Gehiel told me that's what Judah Magnus built. So I can't make it something in Arzasim. It won't work, right?
Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
So the way it's made is that there are shelves cut into the mountain with a depression for the head to go into. The body would decay, and then all the bones were put into a common pit. So when Rashi says in Vayechi, Vayasef Alamav, he said, don't think this is a Ma'asefa, right? That is a Ma'asefa. So there was a minhag of putting all the bones in the pit, and even this seems to be the way Choshev people had a grave. We don't know how simple people have the grave. Where all the millions of people we haven't found it might have just been in the fields. So just want to say, in Bais Rishon Kfarim, you would have such a thing, and we don't know. Maybe it continued in Bais Sheni, but not of the famous graves. We don't know.
Okay, thank you for the hara. We shall keep the sugya open. Kol tov, everyone. Chodesh tov u'mevorach. And may it be a siman tov, a new beginning and a new month for a wonderful, wonderful month. Kolta.